It was about a year ago today that I was preparing for my second knee replacement. And I had a very strict protocol to follow. I had to shower the night before the surgery with this very heavy-duty antibacterial soap, using a wash rag that was freshly cleansed, drying off with a towel that was freshly cleansed, sleeping on sheets that had just been washed. And as soon as I arrived at the hospital, they shaved my knee and doused it with this heavy-duty iodine. And as soon as I came out of surgery, they gave me these big honking antibacterial pills. Now, why I take all those precautions? Because the medical community is fully aware that there were microbes in my house and in the hospital that were willing to attack my wound and to undo all the work that the surgeons were trying to accomplish. All of those steps and many more were taken to counter the attacking nature of life, because there were those forces in the world that could render inoperative all that those surgeons and nurses were seeking to bring to fruition. I offer you a glimpse this morning of Israel's history that explains why the reign of King Saul ended in humiliation and the reign of King David rose to heights of glory. It was because of their differing attitudes to the attacking nature of life. We see them gathered in a Hebrew camp, arrayed against a superior Philistine army led by a giant named Goliath. And King Saul was very much aware that his forces were inferior to those arrayed against them. And he knew that his army was a confederation of tribes, each with their own special interest. And he knew they were not sufficient for the challenge at hand. And their morale dropped daily because every day Goliath issued insults and threats and blasphemies. And King Saul surely sighed to himself and thought, gosh, this king thing should be easier. But David stands before him and says, let me go fight this giant. Saul says, he'd get massacred. David says, no. When I was a shepherd, a lion would come and try to steal one of my flock. I'd go after the lion and kill it. A bear would come, try to grab one of my lambs. I'd go after the bear and kill it. The God who gave me the strength to kill the lion and the bear would give me the strength to deal with this Philistine giant as well. David was aware that even being a shepherd exposed you to the attacking nature of life. Saul expected everything to go swimmingly. He was king. But when people questioned his authority and rebuked his decisions and he found himself embroiled in controversy and threat, he was not able psychologically to deal with the challenges upon him. He was unaware, insensitive to the very attacking nature of life, whereas David was fully aware that no matter what you're doing, there will be things that can go wrong, dangers that lurk, threats that happen, and you have to draw upon the strength of God to deal with those potential dangers to your existence. jump from a camp 1,000 years before Christ to a contemporary household. A father comes home after a long day of work, and he knows that he has a pile of paperwork to attend to because the job is not yet done. His wife comes home from a long day of work, and she's muttering at the refrigerator because the new ice maker that was installed last week is already not working. And their daughter, their young daughter, is back in her room crying because somebody was mean to her at school. And one of their sons is looking at a math book and he's literally pulling on his hair going, "Algebra is stupid. Algebra is stupid. It doesn't make any sense." And another son is staring at a blank sheet of paper upon which he's supposed to be writing a book report, and he can't even frame the first sentence. And the father feels the tension in the household and decides to open emails, and there is one from one of his best friends saying that today is the day he got his final divorce papers. All of those things reflect the attacking nature of life. And the question is, how do they respond? Do they throw up their hands in the face of these pressures and go, "Life is just too hard"? Or do they draw from the fact that the Spirit of God provides resources for every challenge? That young girl can remember that as a Christian, her challenge is to meet evil with good. And she resolves that tomorrow, the first thing she will do is walk past the girl who told a lie about her and give her a warm smile. And that warm smile will be a spiritual act. And that young man saying algebra is stupid will go to his mother, not his father, go to his mother, and she will not give him answers, but she will unlock the principle by which he can find answers. And in finding those answers, he will understand God has given him a mind to deal with challenges. And that very revelation will be a spiritual act. And the other son will go to his father and say, I can't do anything. And the father will say, "What's the book about?" "It's about a man who pushes away everybody who tries to help him." And the father will say, "That's your first sentence." And the young man will begin to write with fluency. And as he uses his talent, suddenly he understands God has given him a gift that he can use to express himself, and that is a spiritual act. And that tired woman muttering at her refrigerator will clean off the dusty ice trays she never thought she would have to use, and she puts them in the freezer and thinks, "An ice maker that doesn't work isn't the worst thing that could happen in the world." And that father will write an email back to his friend and saying, "Maybe the death of this love will presage a new chapter in your life of progress and new love." And that will be a spiritual act. The Spirit gives us resources with which we can deal with the attacking nature of life. Think for a moment about how God designed your body, your skin. Your skin is a remarkable barrier against the attacking nature of life. It is a sophisticated membrane that stops dangerous things from invading you. Your tears, your saliva, your mucus is designed to stop invasive microbes that could do danger to you and to wash them away. Your body, your immune system is equipped with complex enzymes that detect a threat and attack that threat and remember it so that if it attacks again, it can attack it more efficiently in the future. God has designed us with an eye toward the very attacking nature of life. God gives us these abilities so that when things come into our life, when you get a splinter in your finger, your body sends white blood cells to it that become sticky so that microbes can't travel further into your body. And they attack what is attacking you to bring you back to health. You're designed with an eye toward the attacking nature of life. It would be wonderful to think that we live our faith amidst a world where everything is harmonious and everything is conducive to spiritual growth, but the Bible assures us that's not true. Adam and Eve weren't long in paradise before they were afflicted with a tempter. The story of the world's first two brothers is one of bloodshed and enmity. The Tower of Babel suggests that our technological prowess only leads to a hubris that makes us try to span the estrangement between God and humanity. Our God says to us plainly, do not kill, do not steal, do not lust, do not lie. Because God is fully aware there are always going to be forces that do not respect people or property. And there are impulses within our own heart that are destructive. Now, the real question. How do we deal with the attacking nature of life? There was a popular book a few years ago called The Road Less Traveled, the first sentence. Does anybody remember it? Life is hard. Okay. Life is hard. But how do we wrestle with that attacking nature of life? Do we throw up our hands amidst all of the controversy like King Saul and say, it ought to be easier? If we give in to despair, if we give in to hopelessness, if we allow ourselves to be overcome by the hardness of life, we die. We might breathe another 30 years, but we're already dead. How then do we respond? We understand that life is meant to be about struggle. It's meant to be a fight. It's meant to be a pilgrimage that engages all of our senses. And sometimes our noses get bloodied, and sometimes we get knocked to the ground. And sometimes we mess up royally. But we have to pick ourselves back up, knowing that God gives us the strength to learn from our mistakes and move forward. I once heard an interview with a noted surgeon, noted heart surgeon, and the reporter was saying, I know you must be proud of the competence that you have gained. And the surgeon said this, no, I think about all of the necessary failures that I went through in order to achieve this level of competence. The necessary failures I went through to achieve my present competence. We fall, we fail, we experience frustration. But God gives us the resources to pick ourselves up and to learn and to move forward. Struggle. Life is about struggle, and struggle has a theological component. If you don't remember anything else I say this morning, remember this. Life is not about life. Life is not about life. Life is about opening our eyes to the divine underpinnings of life. Life is meant to thrust our eyes beyond the circumstances of life to understand the God with whom we're meant to commune. Life is not about life. Life is about conversation with God. And in all of our struggles, in all of our wrestling with adversity, in all of our learning from our failures, we're meant to grow in communion with God, who gives us the resources to respond to the attacking nature of life. And we go forth into this pilgrimage, bearing the same testimony of Jesus. Testimony of David. The God who delivered me from the lion, who delivered me from the bear, will deliver me from this Goliath. When we look back upon our lives and see the darkness, moments of darkness from which we have emerged, we know that the God who has delivered us from bears and lions in the past will empower us to deal with the Goliaths that are ahead of us. God has been our help in ages past. And He is our strength, our shelter amidst the present stormy blast. But He is also our future home. He is also the one who has prepared for us eternal fellowship. And nothing can separate us from His presence. What does Jesus say to us? I am the good shepherd. You need not fear, for I will bring you beside still waters. I will lead you and nurture you in green pastures. And though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you need fear no evil. For you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is the promise to which we can always cling amidst the attacking nature of life. May we pray together. Lord, adversity does come. Difficulty does assail us. There are moments of darkness when we don't see the way forward. But may we not give in to despair. But may we, by the power of your Spirit, open ourselves to your light and draw strength sufficient to deal with the Goliaths before us. By the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.